It's time for another edition of Family Life Today, presented by Power to Change, known in America as Family Life. Welcome. We trust you'll find today's program interesting and hope it will be a great encouragement to you and your own family situation. So let's join our presenters, Dave and Ann Wilson.
All right, I got a question for you. Have you ever done a trust fall? I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I think I was in college with Campus Crusade for Christ, and we did a trust fall.
I did it actually from the stage at our church and fell backwards off the stage, which was 7 or 8 feet, and about 6 or 7 people caught me. But that moment when you just start to fall, you have to trust that someone's back there to catch you. In my case, a whole bunch of people.
What's this have to do with where we're going today?
Well, today we're going to hear a talk from the Love Like You Mean It cruise from last February, where Brian and Stephanie Carter gave a talk about marriage. And for those of you who don't know, Brian is the chairman of our Family Life board and also a pastor of Concord Church in Dallas for over 20 years. And he and Stephanie gave a talk on the cruise about trust.
So we are super excited to spend some time with you for this morning devotional. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Really, what we want to talk about today is building trust in your marriage. And trust, there are several key ideas, true principles we want to give you to be able to help you to discover how to build trust in your relationship. Trust comes in a lot of different stages. I remember when we got married, my wife had to trust me in so many different areas. She had to figure out, could she trust me with her heart? Could she trust me with her feelings? Could she trust me with the kids? She had to figure out if she left, would I be able to manage the kids for her trips away? She would text me and call me and say, are they okay? And I say, listen, how long before you come back? Because I can only be trusted about 30 minutes with these kids. All right. But trust is so important, right? It's, can I trust you with my past? Right? Can I trust you with my secrets, with my struggles? Can I trust you with my weaknesses? Can I trust you with my dreams? That when I tell you the dreams and the things that God is showing me, can I trust you in my weaknesses and in my strengths? Trust is so critical to your relationship that when you have trust in your marriage, it gives you a foundation to build and build and build on. So what we want to do today is kind of talk about what are some key areas, how do you build trust in your marriage? And after that, we're going to talk about some trust breakers. And then we're going to conclude our time talking about how you rebuild trust. So my wife, she's going to talk first about one of the key trust builders.
Okay, so one of our first trust builders is be honest and authentic. So be honest and authentic. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I can recall a time I'd just gotten back. This was last year. I was able to go on a mission trip to Ukraine just to visit and love on some of the refugees from Ukraine. And get back from this trip, I'm completely exhausted. And so my husband had planned for us to go to Weekend to Remember. How many of you have been to Weekend to Remember? Amen. Yes. I just wasn't feeling Weekend to Remember. I was exhausted. And so I asked him, I said, babe, I'm really tired. I've just been on a flight. I'm just really exhausted. Can we not go? No, I said, do you really want to go? And he was like, no, it's okay. We don't have to go. And so I was like, okay, good. We're done. Then Weekend to Remember happens. And he goes, man, really wanted to go to Weekend to Remember. I wish we had gone to Weekend to Remember. And I looked at him and I said, babe, if you would have told me, I asked you and you said, no, we don't have to go. And in that moment, I kept thinking to myself, and we talked about it later. I said, babe, sometimes you do that. You will not tell me your true feelings or how you really feel about something. And I need you to be honest with me. I need you to say, no, Stephanie, we need to go on this trip. And so we learned a valuable lesson. We have to be honest and authentic when there's something that one of us desires. And then because I let him know, I said, were you afraid that I was just going to be like, absolutely not. I do not want to go. Because it is a marriage conference. I just thought you were just being very considerate. So tell the truth, be real, be sincere, be totally honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. All right. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. And then also be consistent. The one thing that I can say, reason that I fell in love with him, I went to the University of Oklahoma. He went to Oklahoma State. I know, rivalry. The thing that I loved about him and what drew me to him was when he said he was going to do something, he did it. So when we were dating, if he said he was going to call, he called. If he said we were going out, we were going out. So it's that consistency and that honesty that I truly appreciated and that you have to have in your marriage.
So trust builders. Number one, be honest and authentic. Your honesty and your authenticity to one another helps build trust. Number two is to honor your commitments. Honor your commitments. It's in Matthew 5 and 37, where Jesus will say these words, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's this idea that part of how your faith is lived out is by honoring the word that you give to your spouse and being a man, a woman of integrity. It's incredibly important, right? It sounds real simple, but every time you do and honor the commitment you made to your spouse, it builds credibility, right? Every time you say, when they ask, did you pay the bill? And you paid the bill, that adds credibility to your relationship and you'll be able to trust you with money, right? Every time they say, hey, are you going to pick the kids up? Are you going to do this? Every time you honor that, it builds trust in the relationship. We've had three kids and trying to manage everybody's schedule, trying to keep up with drop off and picks up and games and all that kind of stuff. But communicating, and when we communicate, then saying, okay, then make sure I do my role means everything. So whether it's the kids or whether it's finances or whether it's the goal we've agreed on, all those things, honoring your commitments, right, are so important because they help build trust. All right, let's look at the next one. Number three, be dependable and responsible.
So be dependable and responsible. All right. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one. All right. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know, like he said, when we are in that season of kids and our kids were doing all that, if you have kids or grandkids who have travel sports and all that, you already know what type of commitment that can be and just how crazy the schedule is. But when we communicated, are you going to go here? Are you going to pick up here? It's a trust that builds upon that. But I think about how sometimes that it helps me and it just relaxes me that I can count on you. And that it's a comfort for both of us. And I think you should, if your spouse is with you, just look at them and say, I love that I can count on you. I love that I can depend on you. I love that when I'm having a hard day, I know when I get home, this is our safe place. It is a safe place that I can walk in. Like I said, we serve in ministry. We've been serving in ministry together at the same church for 20 years. And I try and make our home, when he comes home, he's home. And it is a safe place. And I think for our children, even when your grandchildren come home or your children come back home, or if your children still are there, I heard the adult children still come back. So that's why you're on this cruise now. But anyway, to escape them. But anyway, I love that with our marriage comes a dependence on each other, but also a dependence on Christ in our marriage as well.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to Brian and Stephanie Carter.
And as you're listening, if there's something on today's episode that you're just clicking with, we want you to know that you're not alone, because every single marriage has its fair share of highs, but also lows.
And if you're like us, you're wondering, where do we get help? Well, first of all, you're getting help right now, and we're thankful that you're listening. But we also want to share one of our favorite resources. It's a free guide that's filled with helpful marriage wisdom from real life couples who've been where you are. And you can grab your free copy today at familylife.com/marriagehelp. That's familylife.com/marriagehelp.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to Brian and Stephanie Carter. And I love what she said, because I think being married, I have had to lean on and trust Jesus more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the building blocks of marriage is trust.
And we're going to get into it even more.
Yeah, let's go back. This is them on the Love Like You Mean It cruise, and we're only halfway through. So let's go back and hear what Brian and Stephanie challenged us all with in the area of trust.
Here's number four. The fourth way we build trust is by protecting our relationship. Protecting our relationship. We see this model in Matthew chapter 1 around verse 18, when Mary and Joseph are in a relationship, and Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant with child, and Joseph, instead of exposing her, the Bible says that he thinks about how to divorce her or put away privately, right? He's trying to protect her. He's trying to protect the relationship. And one of the things that couples must understand is the value in protecting your relationship. It simply means that you want the best for your relationship, for your marriage. And one of the mistakes so many couples make is that they expose their relationship to people that may not always have their best interests in mind. It's the spouse that tells their family all about the negative that their spouse does, and then wants their spouse to come to the family functions and wonders why everybody's looking at them a little bit different. Yeah, there you go. Well, there she go, right? It's this intent. Or it's the spouse sometimes exposes so much of the relationship on social media that everybody knows everything about their situation. And so there is value in protecting your relationship, guarding your relationship, dealing with some things privately. It doesn't mean you don't need wise counsel. You shouldn't have significant friends that are in your circle, but it does mean that your relationships need some type of protection. Because here's the deal. Can I trust you that when I tell you what I tell you, it won't end up other places, right? So protecting a relationship. Here's the next one. Time.
All right. So time. I love the season that we're in right now. Our kids are older. They're kind of independent, but they're not really independent, but they're two of them are out. One is still here. Where are my empty nesters? Where are my empty nesters? Wave your hands. Come on, empty nesters. I'm trying to get where you are. I'm trying to get there. But the cool thing about being an empty nester, you're able to look back at what God has done in your family, what he's done in your marriage, what he's done in every season of your job. Some of you, where are my retirees at? Yes, to look at where God has brought you from the time you started that job, or maybe you started that business, to where God has you now. It's time. But also, when you're facing anything new, you can always look back. And that's what I love. I can look back and say, you know what, God, you saw me through this season. You saw me through the terrible twos. You saw me through middle school where they hated me. You saw me through high school where they were like, oh, you were right. You saw me through college where they're like, thank you. Now you see me through grandparent stage. I'm not ready for that yet. But grandparent stage, now you're seeing me through just retirement. But Lord, you carried me through that. And the blessing behind that is it took time. And sometimes we live in this society where everything is so instant, where we expect everything just to happen. But I love that with our marriage and every season, you just see God's faithfulness.
God is using time to build trust. Here's the last one. The last way you build trust is to admit mistakes. Admit mistake. Will you just tell your spouse, I'm sorry. Just tell you. You don't know what it's for. Just right now. Just tell your spouse, I'm sorry. Just you're putting some credit in the bank. Just say, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I did, but I'm sorry. You need to become masters with those two words. I'm sorry. Or I repent. Your ability to repent both to God and to each other builds trust in your relationships. You can't build trust with someone that's always right. It is admitting my mistakes that create room for me or for the spouse to trust you even more, right? So admitting my mistakes. I want to use some time to talk a little bit about, and some of these we've mentioned, but we want to talk now, move from all of those principles we just gave you are all about building trust. So you have these trust builders, but you also have trust breakers. And trust breakers, can I sum it up this way in terms of what trust breakers are? Trust breakers are basically anytime there's sin in a relationship, it breaks trust, right? It doesn't make a difference whether it's lies or dishonesty or pride or perfection or whether it's excuses. The best model is what we see in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, God creates a perfect world. He puts Adam and Eve in it and they are there. But then as soon as sin shows up, it breaks the trust. It breaks the trust with God. It breaks the trust between the two of them. So anytime sin shows up in our relationship, it breaks trust. And then we must then move to the final step, which is really trust rebuilders. How do we rebuild trust in a relationship? Just a few quick things and then we're done. The first thing is to confess our sins. Whenever one of us has sinned against each other, inevitably, I will hurt her or she will hurt me. Inevitably, we're going to miss the mark. I will miss an expectation or she will miss an expectation. It's in that moment that I must, first of all, confess our sins to God. It is our confession of God and recognition of God that then gives us the pathway to rebuild. The second thing I must do is to commit to God and say, God, listen, I know I can't be trustworthy without you. I cannot honor the relationship as the husband or the wife without you. And then the next piece is to change our actions. If I made a mistake and I didn't honor commitment before, then now God help me to honor that more faithfully in this space. And then from there, we can begin to rebuild the relationship. It's a process. None of us arrives there by overnight, but all of this is a process for us to build and cultivate and strengthen the trust that we desperately need to build long-lasting relationships. No relationship lasts long without trust. But the more we cultivate it, the more we rebuild it, the more we strengthen it, the stronger our relationships can become.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to Brian and Stephanie Carter on the Love Like You Mean It Cruise talk about trust in marriage. And I tell you what they were talking about there at the end, I think is so critical to a marriage. If you have a secret and you have never shared that with your spouse or maybe with anybody, and that secret comes out, trust is gone in a second. It takes days, months, years to build trust, and it can be gone just like that. So when they were talking at the end there about, you know, trust is built when you confess sins to one another, that's a scary thing to do. You don't want anybody to know, but if you have a secret and you haven't told your spouse, you are destroying trust. But when you do speak it, you build trust. Am I right?
I've talked to so many wives that their husbands have been caught in a secret.
And wives get caught too, not just husbands.
I know, but I talk to wives more than I talk to husbands. But I'm saying what they've told me is if they would have just told me, I could have dealt with that, the secret. But now I don't know if I trust him because he never did. Like, I can take your secret. I can take your secret sin. Maybe, you know, I can trust it with Jesus, but I just want to know all of you. But I think that's a hard thing to come and share our secrets because we don't know if we'll be rejected.
What if you are rejected? What if the secret's an affair?
I mean, I think you can be rejected for a while and you might be forever. But I do know that as it's exposed, we confess and we repent. Now we have something to work with. It may work out and it may not work out, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and I guess we're saying after listening to Brian and Stephanie Carter, you got to have trust in your marriage. You want to build trust. And I guess I'm saying if you're a husband or a wife and you've got some secret, I don't think you want to hear this, but I think today's the day. You've got to commit to God, which they talked about at the end there. And one of the change actions would be, I'm not going to live with the secret anymore. I'm going to tell a buddy,
Like if I'm a guy, I tell another guy. If I'm a woman, I tell another woman. And I think I need to tell my spouse and trust God to help us make it through this valley and build trust. I don't know who's specifically listening right now, but I think this could be God speaking to you to say, okay, you've held this for so long. You want trust in your marriage. You can't have it with a secret. Today's the day.
And we know this. When you are going to give your spouse and you're sharing something really hard that's going to hurt them, I know that you could be thinking, I'm going to protect them.
By because, not telling them.
Yes, because yeah. This is going to hurt them. It's going to harm them. They're going to be shattered by it. What would you say to the spouse that's like, I've already hurt them enough. I'm not going to tell them this because it will shatter them.
You got to choose your hurt. Mm. You're already hurting them. So you want to build trust. You want to be honest. It's time to go there and trust God to keep you together and make your marriage even stronger. We know many couples who have told their secrets to one another and they are in a better place now because they feel they can be trusted. It's no longer a secret.
Yeah. And I would say confess to God, repent to God, talk to God about it for the timing, how you're going to do it, the place, all of that. But then take the step.
All right. We got pretty heavy there at the end of Brian and Stephanie's talk, but I think it's where God wants us to go.
And let us add this too. I think it's really important to bring a trusted friend, a pastor, a counselor, maybe someone that's mentoring you and bring them into the picture. And a lot of times when you're confessing some of these big things, you need a third party in there with you and just to guide you, to pray with you, to pray over you. I think that's really important.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. We hope you've been encouraged by what you've heard, and we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at radio@powertochange.org.au. Our website is families.powertochange.org.au, where you can check out articles and many other resources on marriage and family well-being. Until tomorrow at the same time, God's richest blessings on your family.